on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Portfolio Manager, Luke Guerrero.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. My name is Luke Guerrero, and I will be with you here today on Friday, September 20th, 2024. Just realized, 10 days from my mom's birthday. Got to set a calendar reminder there. Don't want to forget that. That's besides the point. Because we are here to talk about you. We're here to talk about the markets. We're here to talk about what's going on in policy, what's going on internationally, what's going on in emerging markets, all these things that have broad effects on our daily lives, yes, but on how we plan for our financial future and how we plan for achieving our financial goals. And so when we come to Invest Talk, we meet and we discuss these topics that I bring to the table, but most importantly, because again, the show is about you, I want to hear from you through your YouTube comment questions, through your iTunes review questions, through your voicemail questions, and hopefully over this next hour with your live calls. Now, before we go another step further, I also want to remind you all, as I have and Justin has over the past couple weeks, that we will be doing another KPP Financial Invest Talk Wealth webinar. It's a free wealth webinar and will focus on effective strategies for managing your 401k and enhancing your retirement savings. It all happens online in just about 3 weeks from now on Tuesday, October 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific. So go to investtalk.com and sign up for our upcoming wealth webinar. Again, that's October 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific. Be great if you could stop on by, tell your friends about it, get your questions ready for us to answer live after our presentation. And just to reiterate again, it is a free webinar, but you will still need to sign up in order to attend. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market activity. We'll talk about the week heading into the last trading week in September. And we will run down what happened, or run down the show topics. But first, let's tackle our caller question now.
Hi, guys. Love the show. I was just calling up about Union Pacific Corp, UMP, trying to find out if it's worth buying. I own a small position. I just wanted to hear what you guys think. Thank you.
So Union Pacific Corp, headquartered in Omaha, Nebraska, is a large cap company, got $151 billion market cap, about $34 billion in debt. So not too much debt relative to the size of this company. Its interest coverage ratio, as of its most recent reporting period, about 7.5 times. So comfortable in terms of the leverage that it has. And what it does is it is a railroad and freight transportation services company. About a third of the revenue comes from industrial transportation, about a third comes from bulk, and a third comes from their premium segment. Now, they had a pretty good 2023. Looks like it rallied along with the broader market about 18% in 2023. And it is important to note that along with its debt, it has a pretty solid credit rating. I think most recently when I saw it was about an A- credit rating from S&P. So pretty stable outlook going forward. Now, with that being said, one issue that it has faced really over the past 5 years is growth. And it had about $22, $23 billion in revenue in 2019. And that started to fall even before the pandemic. And certainly the pandemic was not good for this company. Revenue fell to about $19.5 billion. It's since recovered to about $24 billion, which is fine. But overall, over the past 5 years, what you've seen is relatively stable revenue, which means its annualized growth rate is about 1.1%. Now, taking that into sub-periods, what you do see, as I mentioned, is growth is revenue declining and then revenue increasing, certainly why it had a good 2023. And so far this year, it's flat, down 9 basis points. That's 0.09%. Over the past 3 months, it's up about 9%. So certainly it's had a better second half of the year than it has a first half of the year. And so the reason why a lot of people look at this name, unsurprisingly, given what kind of business it's not in a growthy business, is its dividend. It pays a 2.2% dividend. Its dividend over the past 5 years has kind of ranged between 1.9 and 2.4%, so pretty stable. In terms of its per share dividend, it's increased from $3.06 back in 2018 to about $5.20 last year, projected to be $5.25 this year. It's important to note that although the dividend has been on the rise, they also have bought back shares. They had $700 million outstanding back 5 years ago, now $600 million now. Cash flow looks exactly like their year-to-date price chart, pretty flat. I think overall, if you are putting this in a sleeve of your investment portfolio that's more focused on sustainable, sustained, consistent dividends, that's perfectly fine. But keep in mind, this isn't a big growing name. Not a lot to worry about. Again, their balance sheet looks completely fine. But overall, you know, I think it's likely to trend and range where it is. It's currently trading at a price to book of about 9.2 times, exactly on where its five-year average is. Same for price to earnings, same for price to cash flow. So there hasn't been a lot of growth over the past 5 years. They've certainly corrected the ship from a downward trajectory going into the pandemic. But I think the growth story here is likely to be what it has been over the past couple of years. And that's pretty flat. And so for growth, I would say no. For income, might fit for your portfolio. Thanks for the call. Now, we got a lot of ground to cover in the next 45 minutes or so, and here's some of what we have planned for you, time permitting. My main focus point concerns this topic. Beware of AI voice cloning scams. Protect yourself. Now, as AI technology advances, scammers are increasingly using voice cloning. Sounds complex. To impersonate trusted individuals, leading to a rise in fraudulent activities. Victims are often tricked into sending money or sharing sensitive information. So we're going to talk about ways that you can prevent yourself from being a victim of these scams. You'll learn how these scams operate, the warning signs to watch for, and essential tips to safeguard yourself against becoming their next victim. We'll also touch on five different managers and how they suggest moving forward for the rest of the year and into 2025, given that we have just come out of a Fed hiking cycle and we've had our first rate cut this week. We'll also touch on the news today out of Pennsylvania that Three Mile Island, the nuclear reactor on Three Mile Island, is going to be restarted and their biggest customer is going to be Microsoft. Should we have time at the end of the show, we'll talk about how the power of Euro regulators is starting to scare Silicon Valley. We also have some voice bank questions ready to play, including one on GLD, which is the Spider Gold Shares ETF, and one on FDS, FactSet Research Systems. For those of you watching this on YouTube, you can see my FactSet screen right here. We also have some questions that came in from the comment section of the InvestTalk YouTube channel, and of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions now or anytime throughout the show. Now we're going into a short break, and on the other side, we will look at today's market activity and get to more of your caller questions. Give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com.
My question today is about H&E Equipment Services, Inc.
And for our podcast subscribers.
If you're willing to take the risk.
InvestTalk.
If you're okay with that risk.
With host and financial advisor Justin Klein.
And that volatility. Go for it.
And co-host and portfolio manager Luke Guerrero.
This company has fallen like a rock. It's down 52%.
InvestTalk.
Ticker symbol THC.
Everybody wants a secure financial future.
Richard, you have a question about TOL?
But getting there takes strategy, discipline, and the right information.
Wonder what you think of the price of it.
Go to Chris in Maine looking at IEX.
Hey, Justin. I own it. Just seeing what you thought of it.
InvestTalk is made better by listener contributions. So don't forget to call 888-99-CHART. You've got finance and investment questions, and Luke Guerrero is ready to provide his unbiased answers. Call now or anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Let's take a look at the market today. Certainly a timid end to an otherwise exciting week. U.S. equities are mostly lower, ending off a bit a bit off of their best levels. The Dow was pretty flat, 9 basis points, up 9 basis points. S&P 500 down 19 basis points. The NASDAQ down 36 basis points. And small caps lead in the charge downward. The Russell 2000 down 1.1%. And this comes after some pretty big Thursday gains yesterday that saw the Dow and the S&P close at new record highs. Today's underperformers included parcels and logistics, FedEx, a notable laggard today. Semis didn't do particularly well. Home builders, rail, chemicals, machinery didn't do well either. Relative outperformers included utilities. They've been pretty strong this year. Apparel companies, Nike doing well on the back of the news that their CEO is going to be stepping down. Tech hardware did really well. Communications and networking did well as well. Dollar index was up 10 basis points with the yen weakness the big story. Gold finished up 1.2% at fresh record levels. Crude oil ended down 20 basis points. And overall, as I said, it was a fairly quiet session, not a lot of news. Some focus on the softer industrial earnings numbers today that maybe drove the market down a little bit. But I think the big news was with FedEx missing and lowering their fiscal year 25 guidance on what seems to be still a soft industrial backdrop, cost pressures, and mixed headwinds on a macro scale. Nothing on the U.S. economic calendar today. Bulk of this week's data came, I would say, in firmer, underpinning the softer landing narrative. And when you look overseas, what you saw was the Bank of Japan leaving the policy unchanged, but that was no surprise. That was widely expected. Now, looking at the week, on the bullish side, the Fed kicked off its easing cycle with, I'd say, a more aggressive rate cut than some people expected a couple weeks ago, and a dot plot that showed a combined 200 basis points of easing for 2024 and 2025. The soft landing narrative certainly supported by the latest economic data. The Atlanta Fed GDP Now estimate for Q3 at 2.9%, which is largely in line with the above-trend Q2 growth rate. Darden Restaurants, interesting information out of them, noted improvement in recent trends, which helped their stock rally despite its fiscal Q1 miss, maybe pointing towards some consumer resilience still. And comments from the Bank of Japan Governor Yuida on Friday tilted a little bit more dovish than some expected. On the bear side, there was some hawkish takeaways from Powell's press conference. He noted the market should not assume that 50 basis points of easing is the new norm. And also on top of all that, said that the neutral rate is likely significantly higher than it was pre-pandemic. FedEx, as I mentioned, missed on fiscal Q1 results and cut their earnings per share guidance for fiscal year 25. And Mercedes-Benz cut guidance as well, calling out the deteriorating economic conditions in China. Speaking of China, China August activity data came in softer than expected, and geopolitical tensions are still escalating in the Middle East and may introduce new global supply chain risks. Looking ahead to next week, the final trading week of the year, almost. There is a trading day on, or sorry, of the year, of September. A final full trading week of September, that is, given that Monday is the 30th. Next week brings new home sales and PCE on Friday at the end of the week. I hope you've been telling your friends and family members about our videos as well as our audio podcast. And over on our YouTube channel, Invest Talk with 2 T's, we like to take your questions when you leave them in the comment section. This question is about STRW. And the question is, do you think STRW is a good company worth buying? Now, STRW is Strawberry Fields REIT, and they are not a REIT that owns farms. They are instead a REIT that owns skilled nursing and healthcare-related properties. Now, overall, they're a relatively young REIT. They're internally managed. They have gone through a very large acquisition strategy, taken on a fair bit of debt, but not too much debt. And overall, I think they're in an area of the REIT space that is probably going to be, I would say, more constant, especially moving forward, giving an aging population, giving the necessities of post-op care, medical care, all those things. That certainly that is good for them. Now, they have a market cap of $74 million, so they're incredibly small. They have debt of $538 million, so let's just say the better number is not bigger on that side. But overall, I think the big concern I have with this REIT, other than that it's very, very, very small, which means it has outside risks relative to the cost of financing, is they're primarily focused, I think, 80%, I believe, of their properties, somewhere around 80%, is one client. And so that means that if one administrator, their largest administrator of these properties, the largest tenant of these properties, goes bankrupt or something happens to them, well, it's likely to drag down this business as well. So you know, this is a situation where you have a very small company that has been growing. Certainly it has been growing. It's up 43% this year. It's up 78% on the 52-week period. But for me, within the REIT space, where you carry a lot of debt inherently, having such concentrated administrators of your properties is just too much risk for me. Thanks for the comment. Now we're moving into our next break, and still to come, we'll tackle more of your voicemail calls and get to our main focus point where we are going to tell you about the latest dangerous scam. Stay with me. Give me a call at 888-99-CHART.
The newest InvestTalk Wealth webinar is happening online and free in just a few weeks. The InvestTalk Wealth webinar will focus on effective strategies for managing your 401k and enhancing your retirement savings. Go to investtalk.com and sign up for our upcoming Wealth webinar, October 8th.
Welcome back, and let's dive straight into our main focus point today, which is about a new AI voice cloning scam and how you need to protect yourself. Now, AI technology is rapidly advancing, which carries with it risks that we are not ready for. And so anytime these pop up, I think it's important for us to bring them to you so that you can, like I said, protect yourself. Let's dive right in to this new and, I would say, alarming type of scam that's catching people off guard using the latest in artificial intelligence, and it's known as voice cloning fraud. Now, it might sound like science fiction, something out of the movies, but the threat's very real. Starling Bank, a UK-based online lender, has raised the alarm that millions of people could soon fall victim to these sophisticated scams. So here's how it works. With just 3 seconds of audio, think of a voice clip you posted online or in a video or a message, fraudsters can clone your voice using AI tools. They can then use the clone voice to contact your friends or contact your family and pose as you, often asking for sensitive information or asking for money. You can imagine how convincing this can be because it sounds like you on the other end of the phone. So Starling Bank did a survey. And in this recent survey, they showed some pretty concerning data. In the past year, more than a quarter of people surveyed said they were targeted by a voice cloning scam. But here's the kicker. 46% of people don't even know these scams exist. And 8% said they would send the money without hesitation, even if something seemed off. Now, what makes this especially tricky is how easy it is to gather audio needed to pull off these scams. Lisa Graham, Starling's chief information security officer, warned that many of us post voice recordings online without realizing we're making ourselves vulnerable. It could be, like I said, something as easy as a message to a friend on Facebook or some sort of Instagram video. Or even a podcast. Well, didn't think of that. Now I'm kind of scared. So what can we do about it? Well, Starling Bank is encouraging a simple yet effective solution, and that is agree on a safe phrase to share with your loved ones. Now, this is a random phrase, easy to remember, but hard for fraudsters to guess. Someone claiming to be you calls, they can ask for this phrase to verify your identity, but make sure not to share the phrase through text. If you do, delete the message after it's been read, trying to minimize the risk of it being intercepted by scammers. Now, with AI advancing rapidly, this threat isn't going away anytime soon. Earlier this year, OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, introduced a voice replication tool, but withheld its public access to avoid misuse like this. And they're right to be cautious. This technology, while exciting, also opens up new avenues for fraud and misinformation, and ways for people to take advantage of your loved ones, your friends. And so as AI continues to evolve, it's crucial to stay informed and take proactive measures to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Now let's keep moving and pivot back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank.
Hey, it's Andrew from Atlanta. I was calling to get you guys to run down the following ticker symbol. F like Frank, D like David, S like Sam, FactSet, Resch Systems Incorporated had a great day on Thursday. And I'm just curious if you could take a look at this stock. Is this thing going up more? Something I need to hold? Should I try to buy? Should I trim? Please advise. Love the show. Have a great day.
Just take a look at FactSet. Again, if you watch our videos on our InvestTalk YouTube channel, you can see this puppy in action. This is exactly what I am looking at here. It is a research system that is used by wealth managers, by investment management firms, and it has a lot of data. It has pretty much all of the publicly available data on most companies, registered securities, even some information on private companies. And so they have had a decent past 3 months, up 14%, only up 10% in the past 52 weeks, actually down 2% year to date. But they've had some pretty solid growth. I know they've had some solid growth because we've seen the price of it increase, certainly. But over the past 5 years, I mean, look at that growth number, around 8-9% annualized basis. Now, in terms of their margins are expanding. In terms of their net margin, it was about 19.8% in 2018, projected to be 24.4% this year. And like many of the financial data tools, their margins are pretty big. In the mid 20s, their gross margins are pretty high as well. They were in the high 60s back in 2018. They've fallen a little bit to about 54% this year, but still, the trend here is pretty solid. They recently had earnings, the price adjusted accordingly. Now, with that being said, they're a little overpriced, in my opinion. I think they're a great company, but I think they're a little bit overvalued. They're trading about 10 times price to book value, 25 times price to cash flow, about 8.2 times price to sales. And it is important to know they do have a consensus hold rating right now. So I would say that there was a recent run-up related to earnings. It is a great business, but it is probably a little bit too rich to buy right now. Who agrees with me? A lot of the market, there's about 6% short interest out there right now. So I would keep my eye on it. Again, I think it is a very useful, a very important tool within the investment management industry. And I say all the time, if you want to invest within the financial services industry, look beyond the banks as well. Look at the backbone of financial services itself, and this is certainly one of them. On the next Invest Talk, the story behind this headline: the Fed's rate cut reigniting inflation fears. As the Fed navigates these complex dynamics, the potential for increased borrowing and spending might lead to rising prices, complicating efforts to maintain economic stability. That's Monday, but for now, I'm Luke Guerrero, ready to take your calls. If you've ever dreamed of a world-class sailing adventure, I have exciting news for you. Whether you're a seasoned boater or someone desiring to experience the world differently, far away from the crowds and rushed itineraries, I've got the vacation you've been wanting for possibly a long time. I'm not talking about a cruise. Instead, imagine a private yacht reserved just for you and your friends and family. In fact, it would be ideal for groups of up to 10 guests. Destinations include the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, St. Lucia, Belize, Tahiti, Greece, Italy, Thailand, and many more. You've seen the pictures on social media, people basking on a yacht off the shores of Italy or sailing the iconic waters of Tahiti. And you ask yourself, how do they do this? Well, this magical experience can be yours with the help of The Moorings. For more than 50 years, The Moorings has set the standard for sail charters, power charters, and all-inclusive crewed yacht charters in over 20 destinations across the globe. In fact, The Moorings is the world's premier yacht charter vacation provider and is proud to have one of the newest fleets in the industry, including state-of-the-art catamarans or a classic monohull. So, when you are ready to enjoy the world in all its majesty, authentic and unscripted, prepared to see more and be immersed in the real culture and lifestyle of your vacation destination. Without planned excursions and rigid tour groups, The Moorings is waiting for you. Renting your own private yacht for a week is more affordable than you think. Now that you are inspired, your journey begins at moorings.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It is official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's official. We've now crossed over the 59 million download mark. Invest Talk. Call anytime. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, good day, Justin and Luke. A longtime listener to the show here from Minnesota. I have a question. A few weeks ago, one of you gentlemen, I believe, said having some gold in a portfolio would be a good thing. I've been doing some research and I found the fund GLD. I have a question. What do you think about that? Would it be a thumbs up? And I also did research, and does it contain some other minerals besides gold? And does it also pay a dividend? You just let me know those things, and if you think that'd be a good move, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
So ticker GLD, Spider Gold Shares ETF, actually invests directly into physical gold. And what it tries to do is it kind of tries to reduce the difficulties of buying, storing, and insuring the physical products. And so generally, you would expect then the price and return of this fund to nearly perfectly mimic gold. Now, it does this to the tune of about 40 basis points. So, you know, for a commodities ETF, it's fairly priced. Now, with that being said, certainly gold has been on a historic run. And gold within your portfolio offers many benefits. And one of those benefits is diversification. You have assets that are, what you want to do within portfolios is include assets that are not perfectly correlated. And so if you believe that the US government and global governments will continue to issue a lot of debt, that currency will be devalued, then gold is certainly a good investment. And whereas a lot of gold exposed ETFs are investing in gold miners or gold companies, it's interesting to me that this fund is actually taking physical delivery of this gold. So overall, I like it. $72 billion assets under management, 40 basis point expense ratio, ticker GLD. Now on Fridays, we like to make the time for a quick rundown of key benchmark numbers. So let me hit you with a list of those now. The 2-year treasury yield was at 3.597% today for perspective. Last week, that number was 3.576. 7 weeks back, it was 3.882. 45 weeks ago, it was at 5.05%. And 143 weeks ago, that was at 64 basis points. The 10-year treasury yield was at 3.741% today. Last week, it was at 3.646. 3 weeks ago, it was at 3.921%. 45 weeks back, it was at 4.63%. And 139 weeks ago, it was at 1.762%. Gold, we just talked about it, reached another all-time high today, $2,622 per ounce. Last week, that number was $2,583, 45 weeks back. Less than a year ago, it was $1,935. And 133 weeks ago, it was $1,806. Silver today was priced at $31.17 per ounce. Last week, that number was $30.65. 31 weeks ago, it was $22.80. And 126 weeks ago, it was $23.94. Oil, another commodity, was selling for $71.77 per barrel today. Last week, that number was $68.65. 41 weeks ago, it was $74.30. And 141 weeks ago, it was $66.62. National average for a gallon of regular gasoline is $3.22 per gallon, a 1 cent decrease, and every cent helps from last week's number. 68 weeks ago, it was $3.56. per gallon. 116 weeks ago, it was $4.25. And 136 weeks ago, it was $3.57. In California, Gas was averaging $4.75 per gallon. That is a 1 cent increase. We're heading the wrong way from last week. 47 weeks ago, that was $5.32, and 123 weeks back, that was $5.87. For comparison, in North Carolina today, gas was averaging $2.91 per gallon. That is $1.84 less per gallon than gas in California. Now, as we like to do on Fridays as well, I want to give you information on the latest KPP Premium newsletter. Now, the KPP Premium newsletter, should you be a subscriber, will hit your inbox every Saturday afternoon. In the KPP Insights section, we are talking about the yield curve, all the information you'd ever want to know, and I guess not want to know, probably more than you want to know about the yield curve. What is it? What is it a good measurement of? How does it move? In our stock ideas section, we talk about a vehicle manufacturing company and a payments company. And in the portfolio management section, we talk about signals that historically have come from the yield curve and how that might tell you to adjust your portfolio. If any of that sounds interesting to you, if all of that sounds interesting to you, if even one part of that sounds interesting to you and you would like to know more, head over to investtalk.com and sign up for our KPP Premium newsletter, a reminder that will hit your inboxes Saturday afternoon. Now let's shift gears back to an interesting, let's say, development in that the Fed cut rates more than a lot of people expected. For the past year, investors have enjoyed the stability of a 5% yield on short-term U.S. debt, and it was one of the safest places to park cash. But the landscape is changing, and that's because of that decrease in the benchmark rate by the Fed. And on top of that, given what the dot plot says, more cuts are expected in the coming years. And so this shift is making waves in the market. So where might investors think about moving their money? Well, five different experts weighed in. Syra Malik from Nuveen, which manages over $1 trillion, expects the economy to slip into a recession by now. But inflation has cooled. The job market has only recently started to weaken. And so the belief for Nuveen now is that it may take time for a recession to hit and that stocks could remain strong for the next year. Now, with the Fed cutting rates, cash yields will soon drop, pushing money back into the market. So Malik is eyeing opportunities in fixed income investments like municipal bonds and high-quality companies that can survive a downturn. Rob Arnett, founder of Research Affiliates, is more cautious. He worries that the Fed has raised rates too far and held them high for too long. And what that does is it increases the risks of a hard landing for the U.S. economy. And so Arnott advises looking for value investments, especially outside the United States, where markets may be better positioned for growth after their own more prolonged slowdowns. Richard Bernstein of Richard Bernstein Advisors says the current market has been driven by speculation in a few major tech stocks. But he's more optimistic about small and mid-sized companies. With the Fed's shifting policy from raising to cutting rates, he expects capital to flow towards more cyclical sectors like manufacturing and finance, which could benefit from the changing environment. At Northern Trust Wealth Management, Chief Investment Officer Katie Nixon has seen clients flock to cash as a safe haven. But Nixon warns that rate cuts could bring more volatility to equities. She suggests focusing on sectors like healthcare and pharmaceuticals for steady returns, while also keeping an eye on capital-intensive investments like real estate and infrastructure that benefit from lowered borrowing costs. And finally, Jack Ablin from Crescent has been riding the wave of AI stocks, but he's also been investing in private credit, earning impressive yields from floating-rate loans. With falling rates on the horizon, Ablin expects a shift in capital from big tech stocks towards smaller companies that are more sensitive to borrowing costs. He also sees opportunities in markets, particularly in Japan, where a weak yen could provide a dual boost of rising stocks and currency gains. And so now I gave you a lot of information. And the point of all this is to say that there are many different ideas about where the market is headed based upon where it's been and what we know will happen over the next 6 months to a year. Now, for us, we generally think that equities will continue to rise, but probably enter a more choppy period of volatility. Why? Well, mentioned at the top of the show, you have political instability on the rise in the Middle East, an area of the world that historically has been less than stable. And all of this political instability could lead to maybe a resurgence of inflation through damaged supply chains. But either way, generally what we see for now, and things can rapidly change. Things do tend to change very quickly, but the path of least resistance still seems for the next 6 months to a year to be a general trend higher. And I agree with some of what these people have said. I do think that a lot of the market appreciation over the past 2 years has been related to a small basket of tech stocks. And that can be a good thing and a bad thing, right? That could mean that, well, the market may be at a higher level when you look at specific indices overvalued. But if that's related to a small basket of securities, there's still a lot more growth out there. So for us, for the next 6 months, we're looking for value-oriented securities that can survive downturns. We're looking for securities that are not overly priced, that have not had significant run-ups over the past 2 years, that are stable businesses, that do well as one would expect them to do in a rotation out of tech and into those names that historically do well coming into rate cutting cycles. Now, this is Invest Talk, and our work will continue, so hang on.
The newest Invest Talk Wealth webinar is happening online and free in just a few weeks. The Invest Talk Wealth webinar will focus on effective strategies for managing your 401k and enhancing your retirement savings. Go to investtalk.com and sign up for our upcoming Wealth webinar, October 8th. It's free to attend, but you must pre-register. And please tell your friends.
I was wondering, for moving averages, which time frames you guys like to use, whether it's the 50-day, 100, or the 200. Thank you.
You know, generally speaking, Justin is more of the technical analysis guy than I am. On a high level, what you'd want to look at is a combination of all of them. You'd want to know how securities are moving relative to 50-day moving averages, more medium-term moving averages, and long-term moving averages. And the reason for that is because you shouldn't let your trading strategy, right? I don't think you can use technical analysis as an investment strategy alone, but it certainly can be helpful in your trading strategy. You want to look at different time frames to discern different trends because they each tell you something. What I tend to look at is I tend to look at price momentum, which is just another way to look at technical factors. And so I'm looking at price momentum relative to sectors and relative to the overall market on a 1 month basis, on a 6 month basis, on a 12 month basis, on a 2 month basis, all sorts of different time frames, because each of them have a place in your decision making process. So to answer that question that you asked, 50, 100 day, 200 day moving average, all of them. Thanks for the call. Let's play another caller question from 888-99-CHART.
I was calling in regards to ticker symbol RIO, Rio Tinto. I was wondering what you guys thought about entering Rio Tinto, or exiting, I'm sorry. I actually own 100 shares of it and was wondering, should I buy more? So just wanted to know what you guys thought about it. Thank you, and keep up the good work.
So Rio Tinto is a mining company. And 57% of its revenue comes from iron, about 22% from aluminum, and 12% from copper. As you'd expect, given where these mineral prices have been over the past couple months, they haven't done particularly well, though they're only down 5% in the past 3 months. Probably not down as much in the three-month time frame as a lot of these mining companies. In terms of the relative valuation, it's pretty cheap. Trading at 1.9 times its book value, below its five-year average. Trading at 6.8 times on its cash flow. And so when you look over the past 5 years, what you see is pretty solid growth, about 6% on an annualized basis dating back to December 2018. Now, they're supposed to fall off a little bit in terms of revenue this year, but again, that's to be expected when you are running a business where the revenue is predicated upon the underlying price of the commodities. Now, one issue with this company is that they're being investigated for a lot of things. They're being investigated for destruction of sacred areas in various countries. They're being investigated for there's already been a ruling in it, but there's a bribery scandal in 2023. There's been workplace culture scandals. So it's a company that does come with a lot of baggage. And so I think there are better miners out there to be invested in. I actually kind of like this mix a little bit in terms of where it derives its revenue. But again, there's a lot of baggage here that has been weighing its price down even before you had the fall in commodity prices. So to answer your question, would I sell Rio Tinto? Only because I think there are better miners out there, but given where commodity prices have moved, now is actually a pretty decent time to start investing in miners. So I think generally speaking, the outlook for miners is good over the next year, 2 years, and that's because of where commodity prices are now. But I just think this company carries a lot of baggage, and there's a lot of better miners out there to be invested in. Thanks for the call. Now, one thing I want to talk about once again, because I think it's important, is that most people's primary savings vehicles are their 401ks. And for a lot of people, they are thrust upon this investment vehicle with very little experience in investing, and they are given options from their employers, and they don't even know how to begin to think about analyzing those options. Various funds, whether or not they should pay the manager associated with the plan, where is this being custodied, what are my rights as an employee? Because you do have rights as an employee relative to what your workplace retirement plan is. And so these are just some of the areas that we are going to touch on in our upcoming Invest Talk KPP Financial Wealth webinar, where we talk about how you can strategize, how you can effectively manage, how you can analyze, and what you need to know about what your employer owes you with respect to your workplace retirement program. So once again, I just wanted to reiterate that that is going to be on October 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific, and go sign up right now at investtalk.com. That is Invest Talk. I'm Luke Guerrero, and we have one goal here. That's to help you achieve your financial freedom. Our work continues after this break, our final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, I'm not sure if you've heard, but there's been a major move in the energy sector, and it's linked to the booming world of artificial intelligence. Now, today, news has released that Microsoft has just inked a deal with Constellation Energy to restart the undamaged reactor in Pennsylvania's Three Mile Island, a site once infamous for the country's worst nuclear disaster back in 1979, I believe it was. Under the agreement, Constellation will spend around $1.6 billion to revive the dormant reactor, which was closed in 2019 due to operational costs. Microsoft, in turn, will secure clean, round-the-clock energy for its data centers to power its AI ambitions. Now, these data centers are very energy-hungry, and Microsoft is looking for reliable, but also carbon-free electricity sources to meet its sustainability goals. And the deal's pretty important. It's pretty groundbreaking, not only because of the iconic location, but because it signals just how crucial energy is becoming for the tech sector, especially artificial intelligence. Data centers need huge amounts of electricity. And as renewable energy sources like solar and wind remain intermittent and sometimes unreliable, tech giants are increasingly turning to nuclear power to ensure a stable baseline energy supply. Now, Joe Dominguez, the CEO of Constellation, calls this the most important energy commodity in the world, highlighting how difficult it is to replicate clean but also consistent energy. The deal also fits into the broader trend of nuclear energy's resurgence in the United States. And so new federal tax credits, along with substantial state and federal funding, are making nuclear a viable option again, as seen with similar efforts to restart reactors in Michigan, and now potentially Iowa as well. Now, it's important to note the restart, it won't happen overnight. The reactor will require federal safety and environmental reviews, a whole lot of regulatory red tape, necessarily so, before it can operate again by what they estimate is about 2028. But once up and running, the plant will generate 835 megawatts of power, enough to support more than 600,000 homes. And so it's not just Three Mile Island. Dominguez hinted that Constellation could add as much as 2,000 megawatts of nuclear power in the coming years. It's about the same output as a plant in Georgia, which was the first new nuclear project in the U.S. in years. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for investors? Well, shares of Constellation certainly jumped. They jumped more than 15% on the news, showing that the market is reacting positively to this nuclear revival. But it also is a continuation of a trend that we've seen. As energy demand continues to rise, particularly from tech giants like Microsoft, investors may want to watch the nuclear space closely. And it's had a good run-up, but it looks like, especially given this news, there's still more room to run. Before we head off, I want to answer one quick question. This one on a name that we get often, ticker CIVI. It says, could you take a look at CIVI? You guys gave it a thumbs up a while back, and since then, it's dropped 15%. I was looking to pick some up. Let me know your thoughts. CIVI is an oil company. It's an integrated oil company. And they have about $4.8 billion in debt on a $5.3 billion market cap company, but their interest coverage ratio is around 3.44 times, so it's not overly levered, even though they do have a significant amount of debt. And so 80% of their business is oil. 80% of their business. Past 3 months, they're down 19%. Why? Price of oil has fallen precipitously. It's down to $71 a barrel as of today. And so, again, I try and stress this often. This is a company whose cash flow has been improving over the past 5 years. This is a company whose profitability has been pretty steady as well over the past couple years. Certainly, it boomed in 2022, but it's directly tied to the underlying commodity. So when you see a company's price falling, it can be an idiosyncratic thing. It could be specific business risk. It could be a poorly run company, or it could just be that the main source of the revenue, the products that this company sells, the price is just falling as well. So as demand for oil has fallen, you've seen this broadly across the board, oil companies have fallen too. But for me, when the price of oil is this low, I consider it a buy. I'm Luke Guerrero, and this completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can get yours anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Please be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. Now, I hope you've heard that the InvestTalk podcast is also available in video form on our YouTube channel. Just search InvestTalk, and remember, that's InvestTalk with two T's. Please also tell your friends and family about our upcoming wealth webinar on October 8th. As a reminder, it will focus on effective strategies for managing your 401k and enhancing your retirement savings. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.